Alcoholics Anonymous has helped hundreds of thousands of people deal with their addiction to alcohol. In addition to their 12-step process, they highly encourage that everyone has a sponsor. Now, a sponsor is a recovering alcoholic who has years of sobriety and experience behind us. So this is someone that can walk alongside of you, someone that you can talk to. And most importantly, this is the person that you call if you're tempted to fall off the wagon, if you're tempted to drink. You see, AA understands we're better together. That if you're going to be successful in beating that addiction, if you try and face it alone, that's an insurmountable task. But if you get someone who's going to walk beside you, someone who's going to hold you accountable, then you're going to be highly more successful at it. We're finishing up our series of being better together. We're saying that God brought us together as the body of believers, the body of Christ, and that together we're stronger, we're smarter, we can accomplish more, we're simply better together. And we finish up, we're better together when we face temptation, when we, if you will, fall off the wagon. Or maybe we've fallen into a temptation, that we're better if we've got each other's back, if we call each other out, if we hold each other accountable. Because see, God has called us to a new life. A new life in Christ. And in that new life, we want to live for Him. We want to live according to His principles. The problem is, we still live in a sinful world. We still have an enemy that's very real that wants to pull us away from God. And so temptations are around us. But if we band together, then we can stay faithful to our God. Now, before I get into that, I want to make sure that we lay down a good foundation. I'm not insinuating that if we're faithful to God, that somehow that'll make us better in His eyes. Somehow that earns His favor. Or somehow we deserve His grace. No, that's not it at all. That's not why we do it, right? It's in response to what God has done for us. Because it's God's gift, His grace to us that forgives us and gives us the new life. We're going to get into the last chapter of Paul's letter to the church at Galatia. And Paul understood this well, because there he talks about we're better together facing temptation. But he begins his letter laying down the foundation. The basis is that we have been forgiven in Jesus and given this new life. So let's take a look at verse 3. He says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age." See, right from the beginning, he wants to set the record straight. The only reason that we have a right relationship with God is because God's Son came and lived among us, and that He died in our place. He paid the price for our sins so that now we could live for Him. But living for Him isn't always that easy. There's the challenge of living in this world. There's the challenge of temptations all around us. So how can we be better together? I believe St. Paul lays down three principles for us in chapter 6. It comes down to this: responsibility, vulnerability, and accountability. First of all, we have to have responsibility. Take responsibility for one another. If we could be responsible for one another, in other words, that when we see someone who's falling into sin, or if they've already fallen into doing something dumb, that we would be responsible enough to act, that we would intervene, that we would call them out on that. That's what Paul says in chapter 6, verse 1. He says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." Right? So if we see someone who's fallen or they're about to fall, we're saying we're going to take the responsibility, we're going to act on that, and we're going to try and either call them out of it or prevent them from falling in the first place. Now, this is not a witch hunt. This is not, let's see if I can ferret out all the dirty secrets of all the people around me, right? That's not what was intended here. This isn't about, let's get even with those people that we don't agree with, okay? This isn't about, I don't like that person, so I'm going to find some dirt on that. That's not the idea at all. The point here is that when you see something that is very public, something that's going to damage their relationship with God, or it's going to damage their relationship with someone else, that you'll take responsibility and you'll intervene, and you'll call them out. Perhaps a brief example. This has happened many years ago. Friends of ours came over. In fact, the husband in this case is probably my best friend. And we're having a lovely evening, but I noticed that throughout the evening, he was really demeaning to his wife. I mean, seriously. And he said some things that were just downright mean. And I was shocked. And I was horrified. I couldn't believe it. And it bothered me. The next week, we're having lunch. And I was like, Mike, dude, what's up? I said, the way that you treated your wife was, it was terrible. It was awful. He was shocked. He looked at me. He was speechless. In the end, he thanked me. See, we were good enough friends that I could call him out. And he's called me out on occasion too, right? That's what we do for one another. He could have gone on. How much damage would happen to that relationship, right? But when you take the responsibility to act and to call someone out, I know someone say, well, aren't you being judgmental? Now, judgmental is when you think that you're better than somebody else. That's being judgmental, right? Someone would say, well, I'm just as bad as they are. Correct. Correct. We're all in the same boat. We're all just as bad as everyone else, and that's the point. We're taking the responsibility to act, but we act with gentleness because it's one sinner talking to another sinner. It's one person who's done dumb things speaking to another person who's done dumb things saying, I want to save you from this. It means that it's spoken in love and genuine care. It isn't judgmental, I'm better than you, or I'm going to catch you at something. It's I care about you. And I care enough about you that I'm going to point this out so that you can experience the forgiveness of Jesus. And maybe not so much damage would happen to your relationships. So we need to take responsibility for one another. But that only works when there's vulnerability. It only works if we're willing to be vulnerable ourselves. Vulnerable to admit that we struggle with sin. And we struggle with temptation. Because if we don't put ourselves in the level playing field with the person that we're talking to, that's not going to work. We got to be willing to say, no, I struggle with this same thing. St. Paul points that out to us. The last half of verse 1. He says, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. So if you're going to help somebody, watch out. You may fall for the same thing that they're involved in. Or if we go down to verse 3, he says this. He says, for if anyone thinks he's something, when he's nothing, he deceives himself. In other words, if you think that you're above this, if you think that you can't be tempted for something, then you don't have a clue, right? It calls for us to be transparent, to be vulnerable, that we struggle with it just like everyone else, right? So, let me be vulnerable with you, okay? So about 2.5 weeks ago, I'm taking Michelle, my wife, and our youngest daughter, Mackenzie, to the airport. Michelle was going to go back for a week. Mackenzie's still there right now. So we're on the 202 heading west, all right? It isn't quite rush hour, but we're going against rush hour, right? I'm in the left lane, but I'm not in the HOV lane yet. I want to get off on the 101, and I want to take the HOV exit because I know the 101 is busy, right? So I'm cruising along about 72 miles an hour. No, that's not the bad part. It gets worse. It gets worse, trust me. Much worse from here, right? So I look at my rearview mirror, and I see this car in the HOV lane, right? And I'm thinking, well, he's probably going to pass me. Most people go faster than that, right? And he's hanging back about 3 or 4 car lengths. Well, pretty soon the exit's coming up. So I thought, well, I'm going to get over. So I accelerate a little bit, and I get over. And by the time I look at my rearview mirror, I cannot see his headlights. He zoomed up on my back end. I couldn't even see his headlights. I looked down. I'm going 82 miles an hour. I'm going 10 miles per hour faster than when he was hanging back 3 car lengths, right? I get angry. I mean, I'm really ticked off, right? So I wait. I wait until we're on the single lane exit, right, onto the freeway, and I tick my foot off the accelerator. Oh, look, we're going 70, 60, 50. We bottomed down at 42 miles per hour. He's right on my bumper, right? I'm not done yet. When Ron has road rage, look out. Yep. So he's behind me, and we're getting on the 101, and just as soon as he can get over in the right lane to pass me, I drop it in third and floor it. Thus, I trap him in traffic. And I look in my rearview mirror, and he's at least a mile back, and I laugh with delight. Ha, 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 jerk. And my daughter from the back seat says, way to go, Dad. Oops. She's had her license less than a year. What did I just teach her? How much trouble could a young girl get in for doing that? How about the anger in my heart? How about the danger I put other people in? There's not one good thing about what I did. Not one. And I kind of laugh at it, but I'm pretty ashamed of it. We all struggle, and we can all justify it. I can tell you, I was teaching this guy a lesson. He brought it on himself. I mean, you name it. We can rationalize anything. Fact of the matter was, I was dead wrong. We got to be vulnerable. And then we have to accept a rebuke. My rebuke was without words. Michelle just went. And I was done. Most times when somebody rebukes us, when somebody calls us out, our natural reaction is one of anger. And if anger doesn't work, well, then retribution. Well, let me tell you about all the things that you've done wrong, pal, right? We've got to resist that. If somebody is calling us out of true love and with gentleness, we got to take a deep breath. We got to think about it. Is there truth in what they're saying to us? And then accept it with gratitude and grace. Because more than likely, whatever you're doing probably doesn't affect them. And their only motivation for bringing it up is because they love you and they care about you. We've got to have that vulnerability and be able to accept that rebuke. Can you just imagine if we were responsible to one another and were vulnerable with one another? What a powerful witness that would be to the community. How much better our lives would be if we could manage that. So it leads me to the third one, which is accountability. Accountability is that we're going to be accountable to one another. So if we take a look once again, we go to verse 2. He says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So bearing one another's burden, we're going to help carry this load. We're going to be in this together as far as resisting the temptation and pulling ourselves back into alignment with God. I think the best way to do that is to formalize that. That is to have someone or a group of people that you are accountable to. Some trusted group, very close, people that confidentiality is king, they would never repeat it to anybody else, but you covenant with one another, you know what? We're going to hold each other accountable. And we're going to give each other permission to call us out on things so that we don't get off onto the wrong path. These are people that you do life with, you're in the Word of God with, that you're praying with, that can walk alongside of you. Because we live in a sinful world. There is a very real enemy that wants to drag us away from God. To face that on our own of the temptations is insurmountable. But God says you don't have to do it alone. God says we're better together, and He gives us the body of believers. I think that's particularly true with temptation. We're better together. Comes down to responsibility, vulnerability, and accountability. Amen. Would you please stand and pray with me? Good and gracious God, thank you for sending your Son and giving us a new life in His name, a forgiven, redeemed life. We want to live for you, God, but we're surrounded by temptation in the sinful world, and we fall often. Help us as your body of believers to take responsibility for one another, to be vulnerable with one another, to hold each other accountable. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.